How you doing, Joe?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Doing fine, thanks.
Only 2 inches yesterday fell, so we can handle that.
Indeed. But, you know, it's interesting. You use as much salt as you would if you got 6 inches, you know?
Sure.
And they had to scrape. So it's like once it's plowable and you have to scrape, then, it you know, you might as well get 6 or 8 inches. But I'm not wishing for that. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But some of these piddly storms and the hours they come could be more tricky than the real decent plowable stuff, you know?
Well, that's true. Yeah, the Sunday storm seemed like perfect timing.
Indeed. Like, indeed.
Let it snow, watch the football game, go out and shovel it and be done with it.
Yep. Right.
But we've got a long ways to go, unfortunately. Looks like
we do, and looks like next week could be an interesting week.
Yep. Looks like an active pattern, as they say.
Correct, yeah.
Can we talk a little bit, Mayor, about some good news in terms of the pandemic numbers going in the right direction here in Quincy?
Yeah, we're seeing the numbers really go the other way, which is awesome. We went through that surge post-holidays, and numbers got pretty steep for a while there. But we've been steadily going down. Now, today's will probably up some because yesterday was a testing day.
Hmm.
So we'll probably see a little bit higher than what we've had the last 2 days, but we're still going in the right direction, and I think that's awesome. You know, it's still my hope that by the time we get to mid-spring, early mid-spring, we'll be in much better shape. Many people will be vaccinated, and the numbers will be way low. That's my hope, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think everybody's agreeing with that. Speaking of vaccinations, how is the clinic going at 180 Old Colony Avenue?
It's really going extremely well. Can't say enough about our team, working with Manette's team, Cynthia and her leadership at Manette. Just been phenomenal. The facility at 180 Old Colony, it's kind of been a godsend because we don't expect to be under construction until May or June. So we've got this beautiful facility that lends itself to an operation like this so beautifully. There's plenty of space. You can divide people up. There's smaller rooms for privacy as people get the vaccines. There's rooms for observation. Once they get the vaccine, it's really worked out extremely, extremely well.
That's great. Our plans to bring any other sites to the city, do you know?
We're constantly monitoring. I know, obviously, the Lowe's is going to be used by the state, MBTA,
yep.
To do their properties. We're in touch with Boston Scientific if the state needs another regional facility for their location. You know, at this point, it's all been about the availability of vaccines. So, you know, if that gets more robust and the volume increases, then maybe it is an opportune time to come up with another location or two. But, you know, you have to man them. You have to have medical people there, EMT people there. You have to have admin people and volunteers to help get people through it. So, though this has been very successful, you know, the numbers as far as people and bodies go, it's more challenging. Now, we've also been doing the mobile program with Brewster Ambulance, MassCon, and the State Firefighters Association, of which Quincy firefighters participate. And that is, we've been to Granite Place, those two buildings, they bust over people from the two School Street locations. So we're looking at other senior buildings, private senior buildings, because we have a plan in place for the public senior buildings, where the Housing Authority is going to be working with the Stop and Shop pharmacies. And they're going to be going to each of the buildings on the public side and dealing with those constituents. And again, many of those folks fall in that category,
yep.
of the elderly and underlying conditions. And so it's important we get that population vaccinated. So it's going to be really ramping up over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks in general between those programs plus what we're doing with Manette. You know, we're in touch with BI. They have a clinic opened up at State Street, which is dealing with their patient roles, and of course, you know, South Cove Health, they do their thing with their patients. So,
yeah.
And then you get the pharmacies that are doing their thing too. So a lot of vaccines are going out as quickly as they come in, and that's been the issue.
Yeah. Is the city still running the call center and the emergency management office?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And that's been going very well. A lot of, you know, elderly have trouble navigating with the computers.
Yeah.
And we felt the call center was far better for that population.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, absolutely. Any word on a new health commissioner yet, Mayor?
Well, I'm hoping there's a person I've interviewed twice that has a tremendous background, and hopefully I'll know in another week or so.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I mean, you know, with all due respect to Ruth, I wish her well, but, you know, to try to fill this slot right now in the middle of this pandemic, because you're getting people from the health world, right? And these people from the health world don't want to leave in the middle of a pandemic what they're doing for the different entities they work for. So it's going to be a little bit of a time lag before we begin the transition. But, again, we've got a great staff down there. We haven't missed a beat. You know, two incredible nurses, a number of incredible professionals that are working very hard at the health department. So, you know, my staff checks in on a regular basis, making sure everything is going well. So, you know, we haven't missed a beat, but I'll be glad to get that settled, hopefully within the next week or two.
Sure, sure. Can you tell us about an appointment you did make for a new treasurer collector?
Yes, Fee Du. Fee ran actually Grand Asia for, I think, for 16 years.
Forever,
it was in
Wollaston,
and it was in Quincy Center here. She also had banking background before doing that. Hmm. She really checked a lot of boxes. I mean, she had some really incredible banking experience. She ran a small business, which is no easy task, which gives you great experience in managing people. It also gives you great experience in customer satisfaction, right? So, you know, we have, like, you know, our citizens, our residents, and customers, when they come to the window and need assistance. So she really has a great background. She's the transition between Deb and her has been phenomenal. In fact, Deb commented, wow, she's really on top of things and really works very, very hard. So so we're very happy about that. Fee is a Vietnamese-American, and she's probably the, you know, I have Betty Yao in my staff, but other than Betty, she'll be the highest-ranking Asian-American serving in the administration. So we're in these times where our population has a heavy Asian population, I think it's a great sign to the population that, hey, you know, especially the younger people that are newer immigrants, that, hey, we can make it here, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome, but she's got all the background. It's a great fit. I had asked her several months ago to think about it, because she's, you know, she was a very successful business person, and although the economy with the pandemic turned upside down for her industry, because nobody was having proms or having weddings, really,
right, so
she took a real beating, and I know she's still trying to clear out whatever stock she had left just to pay off some of the bills, you know, and that. You know, we hear about things, the pandemic, it's affecting the economy, but there's a perfect example of somebody we know that has had a very good business in our city a long time. And because of the pandemic, it just drove her out of business. She just couldn't hold on anymore. And, you know, we've got a lot of small businesses affected by this that we're going to be mindful of. But I'm looking forward to working with her. She's a great great person, great background, and brings with her a great skill set, as I said, to get the job done every day.
Very good. Congratulations to her. Mayor, a presentation earlier this week to the City Council on plans for a new Quincy Police Station. I saw some of the architectural renderings. It looks quite beautiful.
Yes, you know, it's a handsome building. It will be a well-built building. It's well-designed. You know, sometimes in the public sector we make the mistake of building something that maybe only lasts 25 or 50 years tops, you know. Having to do a lot of repair. For example, the police station itself was no bargain. They spent $10 million in the mid-80s, and it's been nothing but problems, leaks, and all kinds of mechanical issues. It's just, it has not been a good experience with that building. It doesn't meet the need of our department. It doesn't serve the public well. So it was time. And so we wanted to do it right. We purchased the properties around there. We'll build a new station behind the existing one, then take the other one down. In that dollar amount is also improvements to C Street, Southern Artery, Field Street, Broad Street, all the traffic. That's a huge volume traffic area coming through there, so we'll be doing improvements to that whole stretch as well as part of it. So the other thing I remind people of, you know, it is a lot of money. It sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But we also are experiencing historic low interest rates, so the bonding rates we'll get for this will be remarkable. So that certainly takes the sting out of it from my perspective. You know, a tenth or a quarter of a percent in interest over time for a project like this is millions of dollars. So during this time that we're in, would be crazy not to be catching up with some of this infrastructure issues. They remind people all the time that these are public assets. these belong to the public, just like the schools and the parks, and we need to maintain them. We're the custodian of those assets, and if we don't maintain them or replace them in an efficient, timely manner, then you only pay more down the road. So I think it's going to be a first-class facility. It'll serve the public well. That certainly will serve men and women in blue who serve us each day. It's going to have in the basement, we'll have a firing range. It'll have all the state-of-the-art jail cells and meet, you know, all the technology of today. That old building, it's really an embarrassment, that building, that project, even when it first opened. So we'll be glad to get this underway, glad to get this finished and knock that other thing down. So a good project. And, you know, historically, when you look over time, Joe, in a lot of cities and states, a lot of them are very impressive buildings, are public buildings. You know, you look at City Hall, you look at a library, for example, and, you know, the Adams Academy. They're magnificent buildings, and they've been around a long time, and you maintain them, they'll be around for a long time. Whereas some of this newer stuff, that shoddy construction, doesn't really get built as quality as you'd like. Of course, this building is also going to be very energy efficient. We're installing a lot of spots for electric vehicles, because we see over time that fleet's going to probably change into the electric fleet. We're going to have solar panels over the parking deck. So it's been well thought out. It'll be as energy efficient as it can for a 24/7 building. That's the other thing, you know, when you talk about energy efficiency, you never reach the maximum on an operation that's 24/7, like a hospital or a police station. It's those buildings that, you know, a 9-to-5, so to speak, you really save significant energy, because you can really manipulate the systems when nobody's in there. But yeah, this place will be operating around the clock. So there'll be a significant energy savings with the two new technology, but not to the degree that you'd see in a private building that's not 24/7.
Is there a timeline that you have in mind right now?
Well, full steam ahead. So we should see demolition happening very soon on the current buildings that we purchased. As soon as the council gets this thing through, we'll be underway in pretty quick time frame. We're in the process now of the bid went out. We're doing a little different style. There's a couple different ways you can do this in Massachusetts. You can do a competitive sub bid, or you could do a negotiated contract at risk, so that, you know, you go negotiated price, and that contractor takes on the risk, so there's no change orders and things. Now, there's always a contingency. If some unforeseen thing happens, it would be responsible for that. But the day-to-day operation of the site, the contractor would be held responsible and accountable for all of the, under the old system of competitive bidding, under those change order things, the city doesn't absorb that, the contractor does. So we're looking at some, you know, there's some of the biggies that are in this. There's Kennedy, Lee Kennedy, there's Suffolk, John Fish, there's Gilbane, there's Bond Brothers that did the new Sterling, which is now Southwest Middle School. So there's some real competition in here, that companies that have done some big projects. This is not something I want to do a small fly-by-night outfit with. We certainly want a quality builder, and I think we'll have that in the one we choose.
I know that Father Bill's is moving across the street, but how about the animal shelter? Is there a spot for them in the interim?
Well, we're still working on an interim location for them, the permanent location. Up at right near the new dog park, right up at Quarry Street. We're fine-tuning and value engineering that building so we can get that out to bid. There'll be an interim. We're working hard on that. Hopefully, we'll get that settled pretty soon.
Okay, Mayor. As you well know, because you called the meeting, a joint meeting between school committee and city council next Tuesday to fill Anthony Andronico's seat, and it's going to be in person.
It is going to be in person. I'm school committee tonight's going to be in person. I believe we should be setting the example, and there's ways to do it safely. And the February 16th meeting will be at the Quincy High cafeteria. We'll spread everybody out. Microphone systems. We'll encourage people to leave the mask on unless they're speaking. And just like we do at school committee. So I think that's the best approach. And, you know, I certainly have been encouraging us to get the kids back in as quickly as we can. You know, I certainly don't want to be a hypocrite saying, do as I say, not as I do. So, you know, it should be I looked at the minutes from the last time this happened with a joint convention, and it should be a quick meeting because it's the only item on the agenda.
Right.
I've made the decision that Nubian nominations be accepted from the floor. So the combination of the two bodies, and then we'll take a vote on who it should be. And I think this is I got some letters from people. I hope you're going to do it the way the council did it. Well, we're not doing it that way because it's different circumstances. And I would argue the council, Brad Kroll, had that opposition a number of years, so there wasn't a natural successor. I would argue in this case, you had somebody that ran and ran hard for the seat the last election. She did extremely well, come up just a little short, and she continued to be active in the citywide PTO. So in my opinion, you know, out of fairness, she should get the first look, the first nod. And I do believe that she'll be the selection from the Joint Convention, Courtney Perdios. And I've suggested some of these other people that have contacted me, this year is an election year. Pull papers in May and run for the office. The more the merrier. And so that's the plan. Obviously, each city councilor and school committee member may have their own thoughts, their own ideas on who it should be, and that's what this is all about. So we'll see what happens on the 16th.
Yep, that term does expire at the end of this year, that four-year term, so it will be open at that time.
The three seats are up this year, right, including that one, correct, yep.
How will the new, Anthony was also vice chairman, how will the new vice chair be selected?
Well, once we get the person in place, we'll then have an organizational meeting and deal with that. I mean, in the meantime, I'll be running the meetings as chairman, so we don't, you know, and there's chairs of subcommittees and so forth, so we're not losing any time on any issues on this at all.
Sure.
The business continues to get done.
Finally, Mayor, this coming Sunday is the 33rd annual Lunar New Year celebration here in Quincy, the Year of the Ox. It's going to have to be virtual, unfortunately, due to the pandemic. But some of the characteristics, reliability, steadfastness, dependability for the Year of the Ox. So great characteristics, I think, for 2021.
Yeah, indeed. I don't hold much into those. those things, but they're fun. It's kind of a fun thing to enjoy. It's a culture that's celebrated by a number of Asians in our city, so it's nice to be part of it. It's kind of a fun thing. Obviously, just as you said, it's going to be held virtual. But, you know, it's also an opportunity for me to thank Quincy Asian Resources and Philip Chong and the work that they do for our newcomers. And, it's Quincy Asian Resources, but they don't serve just Asian. We got Brazilians, we have folks from all over Eastern Europe, so it's open to anyone. When I say open, I mean their programs are open to anyone to assist, whether it's English as a second language or some of the other programs. They help people adjust to their new place. So they do good work, and I appreciate the work that they do for our city.
Yes, between their centers here in Quincy and locations in New York, they have delivered 1 million meals since the start of the pandemic. That's just incredible.
It's remarkable. If Philip, when he came in to see me when he was first hired, he says, I want the agency to be more self-reliant and more productive in other ways. And rather than begging for money all the time, he's put together an incredible business plan now that they're actually a business, making PPE and doing the meal stuff. And so it's like a business model that some of these newcomers get put to work and get paid while getting something done, producing a product. So it's been a good business model, and, I congratulate them for the work they're doing.
Great. Wonderful to talk to you, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye now.
Yep, bye-bye. Quincy Mayor Thomas Cook. It's a weekly City Hall update here on AM Quincy.